The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. King Herod heard about Jesus, for his fame had become widespread, and people were saying, "John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why mighty powers are at work in him." Others were saying, "He's Elijah." Still others, "He's a prophet like any of the prophets." But when Herod learned of it, he said, "It is John whom I beheaded. He has been raised up." Herod was the one who had John arrested and bound in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, whom he had married. John had said to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Herodias harbored a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but was unable to do so. Herod feared John, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man, and kept him in custody. When he heard him speak, he was very much perplexed, yet he liked to listen to him. Herodias had an opportunity one day, when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers, military officers, and leading men of Galilee. His own daughter came in and performed a dance that delighted Herod and the guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask of me whatever you wish and I will grant it to you." He even swore many things to her. "I will grant you whatever you ask of me, even to half of my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What should I ask for?" Her mother replied, "The head of John the Baptist." The girl hurried back to the king's presence and made her request. "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist." The king was deeply distressed, but because of his oaths and the guests, he did not wish to break his word to her. So he promptly dispatched an executioner with orders to bring back his head. He went off and beheaded him in the prison. He brought in the head on a platter and gave it to the girl. The girl, in turn, gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's dramatic scene of the martyrdom of St. John the Baptist, we can focus on two elements. The first, St. John the Baptist was a precursor of Jesus in his death. He was the forerunner of Jesus not just in birth, not just in public ministry, but also in death. And insofar as we are called to enter into Jesus' death and his resurrection, he's the forerunner of the style of death we're supposed to have, not in its literal details of beheading, but in a sense of that willingness to die for the one who is willing to die for us. Second is the cause. He was executed fundamentally out of witness to the beauty of marriage, to the fidelity that's supposed to exist between one man and one woman until death. It was not right for Herod to marry Herodias, not just because of incest, because Herodias was his brother Philip's wife, but also because she was anybody else's wife. John the Baptist was a martyr for marriage as Jesus intended it from the beginning, how God made it, one man, one woman until death. Today's letter to the Hebrews, we see both elements. The author of the letter to the Hebrews tells us, "Let marriage be honored among all, and the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge the immoral and the adulterous." We need, in a sense, in a compassionate way, out of love for God and true love for others, to be able to give witness to the real meaning of marriage in a culture that wants to pretend it's everything other than what God made it to be. We also see here how so many of the early Christians were dying for the faith. The end of the passage, it says, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life." Consider the outcome of St. John the Baptist's way of life. of St. Stephen's way of life, of so many of the early Roman martyrs. Consider them all and imitate their faith. Remember what the Lord said, I will never forsake or abandon you. And thus we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I won't be afraid. What can anyone really do to me? They may be able to strike down the body, they can't get to the soul. And that's one of the ways that the soul in that crucible of suffering is made truly to glow. The Lord is our light and our salvation. We should fear no one. He's our life's refuge. This was the way of life with which St. Paul Miki and companions lived and died. St. Francis Xavier had brought the faith to Japan just in the 1540s. On this day, 418 years ago, February 6, 1597, the first 26 of 35,000 Japanese martyrs died between 1597 and 1639. They prepared their young children even to be faithful to the Lord at the end when the Japanese rulers were trying to extirpate Christianity because it came from outside of Japanese culture. They were chosen to be crucified. They had their ears cut off to bleed along the journey to Nagasaki, where they were about to be killed. They were tied to crosses, their necks were bound, and soldiers were there with spears ready to end it, just like Longinus's lance was there at Calvary. And St. Paul Miki, a Jesuit novice, a Japanese native, gave his most powerful homily there, saying, I am being killed not because I'm a foreigner, I'm as Japanese as anyone. I am being killed because of my fidelity to the Lord Jesus, and I am happy to die. I am happy to die in faith out of love for Him. His example is one that the letter to Hebrews calls us to remember. His example is an example of faithfulness to the marriage that Christ the Bridegroom has come to bring and consummate with us. And that consummation happens when we, the bride of Christ, take within ourselves the flesh and blood of the divine bridegroom, which happens on the marriage bed of the altar. May we be strengthened by Christ here to give the same faithful witness to St. John the Baptist, St. Paul Miki and the companions, and all those leaders who have spoken the word of God to us. Praise be Jesus Christ.